A group of surgeons, nurses, and other healthcare providers is traveling from Halifax to Rwanda in October to perform open-heart surgeries there. Right now, doctors in that country don't do independent open-heart surgeries on adults, meaning its healthcare system has to rely on teams from elsewhere to help. Dr. Keir Stewart is a cardiac surgeon and director of the Canadian Rwanda Open Heart Project. Good morning, Dr. Stewart.
Good morning, Portia.
Hello. And Dr. Dominique DeWard is a cardiac surgery resident. She's here in our studio. Good morning, Dr. DeWard.
Hi, good morning. Thanks good morning. For having us.
It's good to have you both with us to tell us a little bit more about the work you've been doing and will do. Dr. Stewart, first to you. Last time you were on the show, it was right before the project's first trip to Rwanda. There have been some others since. How has that all gone?
Yeah, so we've now completed three trips, and we've done about a total of 30 adult patients, and the results so far have been very good. And we've had a wonderful time educating them, working with them, and trying to get them headed on down into the path of doing independent heart surgery. So far, so good, and we're going again in October with another 20 people.
And when you say the results have been good, Dr. Stewart, that means that the patients have all recovered well and been able to move on with their lives?
They're all moving, or virtually all of them are moving on well with their lives, and we hope to continue on that path.
And you mentioned that they're doing well. Those that you are teaching down there, the goal is for them to eventually be able to open a clinic there and be able to do surgeries on adults. Is that right? And where are you in that whole journey?
Yeah, so Rwanda has a pretty sophisticated medical system already, but they don't do heart surgery independently. So hopefully they do have a surgeon there, and they do have many nurses and perfusionists. They just haven't managed yet to put it all together. And our hope is that in the next several years, they'll be able to increasingly do the surgery themselves, and we will increasingly just be there on an advisory role.
And so what's the hurdle there in terms of putting it all together? Is it that just more training is needing, or is it needed, or is there more personnel or more funding support?
Well, oddly, it's all three. I mean, there is funding difficulties, and there are not enough staff, and the staff that are there haven't been sufficiently trained yet. But incremental moves are chipping away at those problems. They now have most of the staff they need. I think it's mainly an issue of educating them a little bit better, having a better overall organization. And I think it will happen, but it will take a couple of years to get there.
Right. So this is another opportunity for more training. And Dr. DeWard, you'll be part of that. Tell us a little bit about your role on the team and what you'll be doing again.
Yeah. So I was asked by Dr. Stewart last year to join in the trip, which was a fantastic opportunity. So I went with the impression that I would basically be filling gaps where needed. So as Dr. Stewart highlighted, we have a group of 20 people, which includes nurses that run our intensive care unit, as well as in the OR. We have a perfusionist, we have a respiratory therapist, we have surgeons, intensive care unit staff, physicians. And so going over last time, I went with just almost the idea of being a resident like here. So every day we kind of fill in gaps where needed. So we have a schedule whether we're in the OR or not. But we also uniquely in Halifax cover a lot of our own intensive care units. So I went with a special skill set being able to offer in that domain as well. So last time I had the opportunity to do a lot of helping in the operating room. I helped with the anesthesia team. I filled in gaps in the intensive care unit. I was always someone that the cardiac nurses could call, so it was very fulfilling, and I found myself running around from the start of the morning to the end of the night, so there was definitely a role. And then one of the big opportunities I had was teaching there, so there were local residents that had an interest in cardiac surgery, as well as the intensive care staff from Rwanda, so I had opportunities to teach at the bedside, I had opportunities to teach in the OR, and then we also spent a lot of time providing more structured educational sessions with the whole Rwandan group there. So it was fantastic that I could also give back by doing my own teaching as well.
Did you see growth and learning just in the time you're there? It's pretty short, right? Like it's a week.
Yeah. A Monday to Friday. We stay a few days at the beginning beforehand, prepping patient selection, and then days afterwards to care for the patients. I did see a lot of growth, which is really, really nice to see. From the beginning of the week, you have a team, because we had group members from across Canada, and we even had group members coming from Poland as part of our crop team. And so you're getting used to how everyone does things from that regard, but also getting used to what resources you have in Rwanda and what the Rwandan group does from their day-to-day with training they have. So it was amazing to see, at the beginning of the week, our intensive care unit rounds were maybe not as organized and everyone's kind of talking over one another. But by the end of the week, even the residents there were presenting in a structured way. So just even those little changes were really nice to see.
Yeah, it must be gratifying.
Yeah.
This is all volunteer-based work, Dr. Stewart. You bring equipment down with you. How do you afford to do this kind of a trip?
Yeah, it is all volunteer, so the time time is all given. We've asked for donations, both from individuals and corporations, and so far we've been very lucky in that regard, and that's managed to cover all our costs. And we bring a fair bit of equipment with us. So we put out an appeal. I mean, part of the reason to go public about this repeatedly is to put out an appeal for people to take a look at our website at CROP, which is CROP.ca, and consider contributing to this cause. So far, we've been very lucky in that regard.
And what's gratifying for you, Dr. Stewart, about doing this kind of work, the teaching, but also the impact on patients' lives there in Rwanda who might not have the opportunity to get a surgery like this, as complex as it is?
Yeah, I can't stress enough the gratification from doing patients. But unexpectedly, just the thrill of being with a group of 20 people, all with a common aim in a foreign country, was really gratifying in itself, and really a wonderful experience. I think everyone went there, had a really wonderful time.
And what about you, Dr. DeWard?
Yeah, I definitely echo that. The relationships you make with that group of 20 people feels like they're strong lifetime relationships, just from dealing with the difference in the healthcare system down there, working very closely together for the whole week. It was fantastic to meet people and make those connections. For me in particular, though, being in a first world country and having access to primary care, we don't see rheumatic heart disease as much. So seeing the very young people that we were operating on and what that disease had done to their heart valves was just kind of crazy to see. I hadn't seen anything like it before. So for my own learning perspective, it was very interesting. And then being able to see how they were doing afterwards was very fulfilling.
Sounds like learning on a medical level, but also a social level as well.
Absolutely.
Thanks both of you for being here this morning to tell us about your plans for October. I hope it goes very well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Portia.
Take care. That's Dr. Keir Stewart, a cardiac surgeon and director of the Canadian Rwanda Open Heart Project, and Dr. Dominique DeWard, a cardiac surgery resident.